Hello and a warm welcome to Alternative Johnny Walker. This is the podcast that opens the door to an alternative view of life on planet Earth, shines a little light on those people who are trying to make a difference. And this is edition number 25, and this will be for Saturday, 10th of November, 2012. Hello, Johnny Walker here. Welcome along to this podcast, and thanks for choosing Alternative Johnny Walker. And to begin with, a bit of an apology for not having done a podcast for the past couple of weeks. I've just been involved in a lot of interviews and research for interviews, and there just wasn't time to do a podcast. But good to be back, and hope all is well in your world. Today, we're talking about Spiritual England. It's an organization with a great website, and it was started by a woman called Anna Lubelska. And for many years, she worked for various organizations, doing a lot of help with children with difficulties and problems in life and also problems in their families. And after doing that for many years, she thought, I wonder what I could achieve in a small organization. So she started up Spiritual England and actually was recommended to me by Sir Ken Robinson in a podcast that we did quite a few months ago. And he said, you must go and talk to Anna Lubelska and find out about her Quiet Schools project. So we talked about that and many other things, like what does it actually mean to be spiritual? How can you balance your spiritual life with your day-to-day physical life? And what more we can all do to kind of help this world become more spiritual? So I went down to visit Anna in her cottage in Hampshire, and this is the conversation we recorded. So on your website, it says Spiritual England, opening the doors to support, inspiration, and spiritual growth for everyone, which is a lovely idea. What led you to start Spiritual England?
Well, I've worked in support services to children and families in different organisations and local authorities for years and years and years, 40 years now. But I was, at one point, a few years ago, I was working for the Youth Offending Service down in sort of Portsmouth, Hampshire area. And I remember having this strong, so it was direct support to families. So I was going in and, you know, meeting and supporting families whose kids were in trouble, and in a way that makes the whole family almost be in trouble. And I remember there was one particular family, and I was really struck by how lovely they were. They were a bit new agey, but that's kind of beside the point. But I thought, nobody really is valuing these people for who they are. I think that's what struck me. Sort of people are interacting with them on issues and problems. And then at the same time, in the same area, there was a Baptist church, and they had this group of guys there who were volunteers, and they'd set up this lovely project for kids who'd been expelled or, you know, weren't getting on at school. And I think those two things in my mind sort of came together, and I thought, if only we could kind of support people more and value them for who they are and all the good stuff about them, kind of link them into things that already exist, like churches, for example. And I thought so I was thinking of it in terms of breaking down the barriers that were between sort of people who might be in the community and places like churches. I think that's where it came from. And then somehow that evolved into sort of broader thinking about spirituality. And then I was thinking, what you need really is an agency like Sport England. I'd done work in the past with Sport England that was a national agency that, like Sport England, promotes sport, but it doesn't say to you, you should do, you know, football because that's the best sport of all, but it kind of works with the providing organisations to get good quality, and it promotes excellence as well as participation. And I kind of had this vision of Spiritual England would be promoting the idea of people being more spiritual, encouraging kind of ordinary people to think about becoming more spiritual, not dictating how. So they would just get the information and maybe some contacts, and they could sort of poodle off on their journey. And also working with sort of providers like churches or maybe other religions to see how they could open their doors and be more accessible. So that's how it all started.
And why was it England and not Britain?
Well, that was pure and simply because my experience before, I'd worked nationally on children's play, promoting children's play, and also drug education. And I'd sort of found that it's kind of harder to work with Britain and the UK because people kind of identify more with the country they're in. And when I'd worked before on a UK basis, things are quite different in those different countries. You know, they have, for example, they have different school holidays. And it just seemed a bit presumptuous as well for me in England to be going UK. So I thought I'd start with Spiritual England. And also it was like, you know, it was the time when everybody was going. You had Natural England, didn't you, and Sport England. And it was kind of... And I think also on my kind of journey with this, just looking at England, England is, that's why I've sort of started talking about England is in essence a very spiritual place. Because once you start looking in the history and what there is out there, it, when you look, there is an awful lot of spiritual things, a lot of people who are into spiritual things as well. So it's kind of valuing that as well now. So whereas before I was thinking it's not spiritual, let's make it spiritual. Now I'm kind of more, there's a lot of spiritual things out there, sort of linking them up and valuing them and trying to give people access to them. That's sort of how it's developed.
In a way, I think there's a tremendous boost at the Olympic opening ceremony about England and who we are. And then sort of the politicians came back. You know, it was sort of, it was just a wonderful time of being proud of who we are and feeling very connected, really. And I've read over the years various spiritual prophecies, and they said the day will come when England will be a shining light to the rest of the world and a representation of the future, how we can all live. And when you think it's such a melting pot, England, and the way we've adapted all these different peoples, and we're all sort of, I mean, there are obviously problems, but by and large, generally we're getting on, and as time goes on, we seem to be better at all getting along and accepting each other.
Yes.
Not really a question.
No, but a sort of comment on...
Yeah, that was the wonderful thing about the Olympics, and then suddenly it ends. It's like Christmas coming at an end, really. It's a really special time, and then it stops, and suddenly then we go into the party political conferences again, and sort of the politicians are all back in the headlines, and it's a shame, really. Somehow I think maybe there's a different way that we've got to think about how we're led. And
well, I mean, it is very interesting, because I was thinking about all this people being more spiritual, what does it mean, and looking at different definitions, and different faiths, you know, have different things that they say, different ways of helping us get in touch with our sort of inner selves and the transcendent. And then I was organising conferences about creating spiritual spaces with children, young people. And then I kind of thought, well, hold on, but what's the point of being spiritual? Because I'm quite practical. And I thought, well, in a sense, one aspect of it is to be more peaceful. So this links back a bit with... Just link back to what you were talking about, in a sense, with the political aspect. So, you know, the what can we do in the world, as well as how can we be ourselves, you know, within ourselves. So I've now switched to having... I had a conference on peaceful schools, about peaceful primary schools, and we're now working on peaceful secondary schools. And again, it's an exploration and a journey. And that's led me... Because I used to be very political. I used to be in the Labour Party. And then I sort of thought, well, it might be interesting not to be in a party and to just be very open-minded. So so what you're saying about the very spiritual aspect of the opening and closing ceremonies of those Olympic Games and all that connectedness and inspiration, then being followed by the political, is interesting. Because at the end of the day, biggest issues is all the wars and all the conflict. So I've started going to conferences about peace and reading... I'm reading a book at the moment about the economics of... I think it's called The Economics of Killing, which is all about the military-industrial machine, you know, and how that all that international stuff goes on. So all the time, it's kind of different, operating on different levels, really, for me. There's the spiritual, which might seem as if you're... going off into your... I mean, I've had a meditation pod built in my garden. It might seem that you're going off and being on your own, being very tranquil and quiet. and then going into the world and thinking about politics and how you can, what government should be doing, it all interconnects. And I think it's embodied by somebody like the Dalai Lama, who manages to, in a sense, he is involved in politics, isn't he? But also he is seen as such a strong spiritual leader.
There's some really good definitions on the website. Spirituality is not about beliefs, it's about the way we live and conduct our day-to-day lives. Another one from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Spirituality is an awareness that there is something far greater than we are, something that created this universe, created life, and that we are an authentic, important, significant part of it and contribute to its evolution. How would you try and define spirituality?
To me, it's about a sort of internal peace and connecting through meditation and silence to something kind of within us and beyond us. So that's that kind of internal thing. But then there's also the connectedness and the interaction with others. And for example, to try and make it seem more understandable. So for me, when people talk about, I'm not very good at connecting with God in a sort of an abstract sense. To me, God is in other people. So I sort of see other people, the spirit, in a way, my spirit connects with other people's spirit. So there's the internal, there's the kind of you as on your own in a way, then there's you and other people, and then there's the sort of community, and then that within the community and the interconnectedness, all these different people in the community, there is an element of social action and what you actually do in the world, which I think one of those that you quoted did cover that, which to some people might seem strange. You know, different people have different aspects, with different thoughts about it. You know, there's somebody called Nigel Pimlott who's very into spirituality and youth work, and when he does workshops for youth workers on how to foster young people's spirituality and tap into it, he always says, don't spend hours defining it, because you're trying to define the indefinable. Just arrive at definition that suits your purpose, which is quite, you know, academics find that quite hard, I think, because academics would want to think that somehow there was some way that you could put your words together and pin it right down.
So the way I got to you, really, was a recommendation from Sir Ken Robinson, who is a fantastic character, and I was really lucky in the early days of doing this podcast of getting Ken Robinson to do an interview. He was in America, and we did it by Skype. And then he mentioned, oh, you must talk to Anna Lubaleska, who's started the Spiritual England. Because he mentioned peaceful schools. How have you got on with that?
Well, it's where to start, really, because there's so much sort of happening now. I suppose because I'd organised the two conferences on creating spiritual spaces with children, that gave me quite a few contacts. So I've been building and developing, you know, so my networks are quite wide. So Ken Robinson could have heard about me from all sorts of people, really. So an interesting example of what's happening is because we had the conference and there was this one teacher who's a sort of super head teacher. She's got two primary schools under her in Camden. She's now going to take her kids in one of the schools off timetable for a week and get them all to focus on peace. I mean, she's developing her ideas, so I couldn't tell you exactly what she's going to be doing with them. But one aspect that we're very keen on and we promote, and we're doing research with students, pupils and students, is what they think peace is, you know. So it's not sort of saying, okay, here's the blueprint, this is a pretty peaceful school, you've got to do X, Y and Z, and then you sort of rush in and inspect them on it. I went the other week to an amazing school, they found me on the internet. It's called St. James Senior Boys School. It's in Ashford, Middlesex. It's quite a small school. It's 340 pupils and it's private. But it's based around philosophy. And they've got to be the most peaceful secondary school in the country. All the boys get taught meditation. They all get given a mantra. They have falling into silence or stillness at the beginning and end of each lesson and the beginning and end of the lunch that they will have together. And what they were saying was they're learning to respond to things but not to react. So when you react, it's often coming from stuff, isn't it? You get angry immediately. you can get, people can wind you up, can't they? And then you kind of react. So they're learning to pause, think and reflect and then act. So I mean, you know, just going by talking to them, I was just so impressed. And they themselves could see the value of the silence, for example, in the meditation. Now, another school, Tunbridge School, is teaching mindfulness. So they've made it secular, and it's something that's spreading. It's now teachers can do mindfulness in schools training, in state school teachers as well as private school, but it sort of started in Tunbridge School. And they teach it in the classroom, and that can have benefits. So I was at a conference when these secondary school boys were saying, one boy was saying he was out in Richmond on Saturday, and there was a bit of a sort of to-do happening with these young people, as, you know, happens on a Saturday night. And he got a text from his friend in that moment, a fellow pupil, and the text had the dot B, full stop, little B, and it meant stop, breathe. And that's their little code that they develop from their mindfulness. And he said because he got that in that moment, it reminded him not to react, but to be able to just stand back and kind of be quite calm and, you know, help the situation that had developed amongst the group of young people. So I thought that was brilliant, because that was them telling us the benefits in their real lives, not just at school, of having learnt mindfulness. So they could then not only be able to calm themselves and feel that calm and inner peace when they were doing mindfulness, they could also be peacemakers in their communities.
What about adults? Spiritual England, do you want to reach adults and sort of help them become more spiritual? Or?
In some ways, we are reaching adults because of people who are looking at the website and getting information and signposting off to things like the Good Retreat guidebook, you know, that perhaps people didn't know about, and different organisations, and the fact that there are now books about spirituality and mental health, and there are organisations looking at art and spirituality, or they might, for example, be wondering about spiritualism. And I've got somebody to write something about that. I mean, that's a very interesting area, because people often think when I talk about spiritual England that I mean spiritualism, which it tends to mean connecting with people who've died. And you'll get some people, like some Christians, who will be very against that, about psychics or mediums. You know, so I think it's good to give information about that in a sort of balanced way, which I've done on the website. And I haven't particularly, because it's sort of, you know, we're just a small organisation with big ideas, and my passion is sort of children and families. We're doing our work in that area. So obviously those children will grow up into adults. And there are organisations, like, for example, I work closely with the Rican Trust, who have set up forums around the country for people who are interested in spirituality to meet. They meet, and there's one in this area, sort of Hampshire, Surrey area. Every couple of months we have a sort of get together and speakers, and maybe do a bit of meditation or sound healing or something like that. In a way, networking what you might call spiritual seekers. I think people these days are very open. I'm not saying everybody is, but I think the younger generation, I think, are much more questioning than maybe our generation would have been. And I think they're more open, especially I think the internet's made a huge difference, because they can access all sorts of information. There's lots of inspiring websites, and they've been to school where they've been taught about other religions. So I think they are more interested in pursuing different ideas, and they're more open to getting guidance from different, maybe, religions or other sort of things.
So you talked about big ideas, the big ideas of Spiritual England. So what big ideas have you got?
One of my big ideas was to have an open doors day, where all mosques and the temples and the churches sort of open their doors and invited people in and actually explained what they did there. I'm really passionate about that, you know, opening things up and talking about them, finding out about them and the underused spaces that there are.
But for many people, religion doesn't seem to suit them. It doesn't, you know, there's rules, regulations and things like that. But then if you ask them if there's something else bigger than we are, or whether they've got a spiritual side to themselves, then they will say yes. So that's really what interested me about Spiritual England, was the idea that somehow connecting with people's interest in finding out, what does it mean to be spiritual? How do you develop the spiritual side of your nature? How do you balance a spiritual way of living with the physical necessities of doing a job, paying the rent, doing your chores and all the rest of it? That's, I think, one of the big struggles, is it not, is to find that balance.
There's a lovely chap called William Bloom who lives in Glastonbury, and he does courses. He's developed a whole course called Spiritual Companions Course, and he's got a big conference next year in Glastonbury that I'm speaking at on spiritual well-being. He's very good at sort of saying, look, spirituality is good for you. And he had quite a nice thing about, you know, stopping and breathing and connecting. And actually, he also said quite strongly, because he's been on a journey himself with it all, about it isn't just about you, and it isn't just about you being centered and spiritual and in touch with the divine and having inner peace. It is also about you giving back and connecting and social action. I think most of those people that really think about these things come back to those, all those aspects, which actually is, they are the aspects of religions. I think what puts people off about religion is that people then experience religion as a set of sort of doctrine and beliefs that they feel that they're being told they've got to believe something. And I don't think religion's going to survive, really, if they carry on like that. It's a sort of paradox, really, isn't it? That I can see how religions want to sort of hang on to their original belief.
Shouldn't radio and TV somehow be doing more about spiritual things?
I mean, there is more about spiritual things. If you look now, if you go somewhere like, I think it's more Waterstones, I think it might be Smith's as well. A few years ago, I was looking and you'd have, you know, religions books, and then if you go now, they've really got loads and loads of spiritual books. Actually says spirituality and religion, or spirituality, which is amazing, really. So it isn't, I think I'm just picking up on the zeitgeist, you know. I think it is, once you start looking, people are very interested. I mean, the interesting thing is, like, a lot of traditional religions are against New Age, aren't they? But that, I think that New Age has had an effect. And I suppose there's the link as well with all the sort of self-help, isn't there? There's that trend, the sort of self-help, psychological, you can be the best you can be, you can transform your life, right down to the you can have everything you want sort of thing if you think positively. And I think there's all those different influences, isn't there, which are kind of quite person-centred and empowering the individual. People are looking, people want, don't they? They're looking for these books, they're reading these books. A lot of it's women.
And Mind Body Spirit festivals.
Yes, huge, those festivals.
Hugely,
yes,
popular.
There's that great big one in London, isn't there, annually now? I think they do it somewhere else as well. Mm. It's twice a year.
Yeah, they're all over. So where do you see Spiritual England going?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I did want it to be a kind of national organisation, like, you know, Natural England and Sport England. And I'm not sure now. Because the thing is, when you get these national bodies, you have to have loads of money, don't you? And loads of staff. And then you start having programmes and award ceremonies and all sorts of complicated things. And it all gets very bureaucratic. And that's definitely not for me, because I've kind of done that in other jobs. So I don't really have a heart or motivation to go into that. So I think at some point in a few years' time, I'd like somebody else to take it on, and they can take it off in whatever direction they take it off in. I'd like this Peaceful Schools movement. I can see that becoming a movement. And I've already got other people organising the next conferences with my support. And we've got a Peaceful Schools strategy group. So that's why we called it a movement, because you get the sense then that people can jump on board and develop it and take ownership of it. Spiritual England Well, we'll see. You know, maybe, I mean, I've got a partnership with Windsor University. I've got a partnership with Rekin. I'm now enrolled on doing an interfaith ministers course. And I was partly doing that because I thought there'll be people there. It's called the One Spirit Seminary that's got a very spiritual interfaith aspect to it. And I think there'll be people on that course that will help me think about, you know, where we can go with Spiritual England.
That's my conversation with Anna Lubelska. And do have a look at the Spiritual England website. The address is spiritualengland.org.uk, and it's full of great information, including some really good quotes from people trying to define what the word spiritual actually means to them. So that's it for this week. I love the way doing this podcast that names of other people kind of pop up during a podcast, which throws forward to the next one. And Anna in that conversation mentioned the wonderful work of William Bloom, who lives in Glastonbury. Very spiritual place, of course. And that's somebody I think I definitely need to check out and maybe do a podcast with. It's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes thing, this sort of getting various clues and then moving on to the next one. So have a really good weekend and look after yourself. My thanks as always to Koso and to Daniel Kana for their help on Alternative Johnny Walker. Take very good care of yourself and join us next week for Alternative Johnny Walker, be edition number 26. So I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye now.